Lord is so good to every one of us, and we sometimes we do, but we really don't have a whole lot to complain about, do we? I mean, as good as God is to us, we ought to just be praising Him. You know what the psalmist said in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name." Amen? And I tell you, He is good to us, isn't He? Boy, He takes care of us even though we're in sometimes in some dire circumstances and situations, but thank God for taking care of us. Amen. Take your Bible tonight. Look with me in the book of Mark. We're going to be in the book of Mark, chapter number 4. Mark, chapter number 4. Jesus is, of course, doing a lot of the beginning ministries as we look here in this chapter. There's we talk about the Gospel of Mark. When you look into the Gospel of Mark, Jesus just, Mark just kind of takes off. I mean, he doesn't do a lot of opening information like Matthew tells us about the genealogy. Luke tells us about the birth. John tells us about the heavenly origin and the things of God. But Mark just says, here's the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. Boom, you're just right in it. He doesn't play around the edges. He just gets right into the meat of things. And as he does that, obviously, there is the early ministry of Jesus and the things that he did there. And that's kind of where you're at here with Mark chapter number 4, still in the earlier days of the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. But the Lord Jesus has come by, and in Mark chapter number 4, verse number 1, it said, "And he began to teach by the seaside." So you know where he is. He's by the side of the sea of Galilee. And look on over just a little bit further, though, in this chapter, if you will. And look with me in verse number 35. Now, Jesus has been teaching and preaching and helping people all day long here. They've been coming and hearing him, and it says there's multitudes of them. And then in verse number 35, it said, "And the same day, when the even was come, that he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." Now he's talking to his disciples. "And when he had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for loving us. Thank you for the good songs and good music, the good fellowship, the good Spirit of God that's moving here with us. And I pray now you just add your blessing to everything that's said, everything that's done. May we just give you glory and praise for that tonight, and just give us your wisdom, give us your blessings and an insight on the Word of God. Be a blessing to us today, and we'll just thank you for that. And I pray now you just speak to our hearts and help us to see you, help us to know you, help us to tell others about you, and give us a burden for lost and dying folks. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look here with me, if you will, at this, and let's just talk about tonight a little trip at the sea. A little trip at the sea. I mean, you see the story, and this is one of those that is found in at least three of the Gospels, the same story. And there's another time when Jesus comes to his disciples while they're on the sea, and he walks to them on the sea. This is not that incident. This incident, they have him with them. Now, there's not necessarily a whole lot of differences in the incidences, but just a few little things other than the fact that here, Jesus is with them. Amen? And aren't you glad to know sometimes that, boy, no matter where you are, Jesus is with you. Amen? I like to have Jesus with me no matter where I go, no matter with who I am. Hey, thank God I'm just glad he's with us. Amen? So the Bible tells us here that the Lord has been preaching and teaching all day long, and they've come to the end of the day. And it says when the evening was come that Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And when they'd sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. I want you to look at that. Let's think about this first of all, if you were that. Let's think about the mission that they were on. The mission that they were on. Now, I want you to understand, when Jesus is doing anything that he does, I mean, they need to look at it as it is a mission. Do you realize in your life that the Lord is doing things sometimes, and we just go about our daily lives? We're out here doing what we do. We're with our family. We're with our loved ones. We're on our jobs or school, whatever it is, and we don't think about it. But a lot of times, the Lord has me and you on a mission. Anything that he's involved in, anything that he works through, it's a mission for him. And the Lord Jesus has a mission for his disciples. You know, they probably feel like they've just been through some sort of mission. Jesus has been teaching, and they've been there listening, and they've probably been helping and encouraging. And then here, you know, they've sent the multitudes away, and now they get him on board a ship, and they probably feel like our mission for the day is over. But can I tell you, they're about to join into another mission. They're on an evening time ride across the sea, and they think, boy, Jesus has told us, let's pass over to the other side. Let's go over to the other side, from one side of the Sea of Galilee over to the other side. Now, when you get into chapter number 5, you see that when they get there, they are in the country of the Gadarenes. That's what the scripture tells. They go to the country of the Gadarenes. And you know the story there where they're going to meet a man possessed with demons, all that kind of stuff. They have no idea. I mean, do you see that with me? Jesus just simply says to them, we're going from here and we're going there. And I guess sometimes, you know, me and you would like to know, well, what's it going to be like when we go? How things going to be going while we're on our trip? How's this thing going to wind up? What are we going to do when we get there? But I notice that these disciples never ask him any of those questions. Or if they do, it's not recorded for us. But I get the feeling that just whatever the Lord is saying, he said, let's go. And they just pile on. Isn't that what it basically says there in verse number 36? And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was into the ship. I mean, here they go. They said, okay, we got a mission. I want you to notice the plan that Jesus has in this mission. The plan of their mission is to go from here to that. Amen. Can I tell you, one big thing in the life of us as a Christian is that we're going from here to there. And you know what? They didn't even really know where there was. They just knew that's going there. What is it? I don't know. I have no idea. Hey, can I tell you, there's a lot of times, and probably most times, when you and I get up in the morning, we don't understand the mission that God has for us that day. You don't know what he's doing. You have no idea what God's going to do with you on Monday morning, should Monday morning come. I mean, you've got no idea. You say, well, I'm planning on this and this. Yeah, that's what you're planning on. But can I tell you, sometimes your plan changes. And you're going to see with this mission right here, the Lord has a mission. The Lord has something going on in their life. They don't even understand it. But the plan is, now the plan that Jesus gives them is, we're starting here and we're going there. And that's about as much as they know. Do you realize that living by faith is that kind of mission? When you and I live by faith, if you'll go back and look and study about the life of Abraham, do you know what the Lord told Abraham? He told him, Abraham. Abraham said, Lord, here I am. He said, I want you to go to a place which I will tell thee of. Do you know the Lord didn't tell him where he was going? The Lord didn't say, okay, now here's a road map, here's a big plan, here's something I want you to see, here's your GPS, and it's going to take, you know how we are? We want to know more than what is told to us many times, right? I mean, aren't you like that? Aren't y'all kind of nosy? Somebody says, hey, I believe I can take any one of you in here, and I can say, now we're going to go to Atlanta. Well, you start out, well, how are we going to go? Whose car are we going to go in? Well, how much gas is that going to take? Well, is it going to cost me anything to go? What road are we going on? Well, how's the traffic doing? I mean, we'd start coming up with all kinds of questions, right? Well, the Lord said, just shut up, get in the car, must go. Amen. Anybody's mom and daddy used to tell them that? When we was kids, oh, yeah, we want to go. I don't like it over there. I don't want to go that far. You know, all them little whining. Are we there yet? Shut up. Hang on. We're headed. Amen. I mean, sometimes that's just the way that we are. But there was a plan that comes down from the Lord. And this plan says, we're going from here and we're going to there. But that's the plan. Second of all, I want you to understand this. There is a purpose. There is a purpose in this mission. Jesus says, we're going from here to there, and he doesn't tell them the purpose, but there's always a purpose in what God is doing in your life. There's always a purpose. And you know, many times, me and you don't understand it. You get up tomorrow, and, you know, something could happen to someone in your family. Guess what? Your plans change. I mean, what you all had all planned out, A, B, C, D, 1, 2, 3, 4, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, every bit of that could change with one little phone call, one little incident, one little car wreck, one little thing that could happen in any number of ways in your life. Hey, things could change. Brother, I'm just telling you, everything that goes on in our life, God has a purpose. And Brother James just read you that verse, or just quoted that verse in Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to what? His purpose. He's got a purpose. Can I tell you this? A lot of times I don't even understand his purpose. I don't understand it. And I'm going to tell you, you don't understand it. There's not a one of I don't understand the purpose that God puts sickness in people's life, but there's a purpose to it. I don't understand why God changes some plans in people's lives, but there's a purpose. I don't understand why God does some of the things that he does, but I'll tell you, there is a purpose. And these folks didn't have a clue about the purpose. They never are told about the purpose. And I'll guarantee you, hey, when Job got up that morning and went about his daily doings, Job said, I'm going to go pray for my kids. I'm going to offer an offering for them. I'm going to do all of these things. Job didn't have any clue that day somebody was going to start coming and knocking on his door and say, Job, all of the camels are taken away. Somebody else came up and said, Job, all of our oxen are gone. All the sheep been stolen. Everything's gone. No, he didn't have a clue, but it started happening that day, didn't it? Somebody came and knocked on the door, and he said, who is this now? And they came in and said, Job, got bad news. All of your children are dead. There was a great wind, a great storm. They had all gathered together, and the walls fell down in the building, and it killed every one of them, even the servants. And I'm the only one left escaped to tell you the bad news. You know what Job did? Job worshiped the Lord. And Job, the Bible said that he did not sin with his mouth. He did not. He looked at his wife and he said, honey, the Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Did he understand the purpose? No. He didn't understand what in the world was going on. He didn't know about what had happened up in heaven when the devil said, well, what about your servant Job? Well, if you just let me do some stuff, I'll tear him out of frame. He'll curse you. He'll turn from you. He won't be a God follower anymore. And God said, go ahead and try him. Let's see what happens. Job didn't know any of that. He had no idea what that day was going to bring forth, but it came his way, and God had a purpose. Now, sometimes we don't understand it, we don't like it, but God has a purpose in what he's doing. So these men, here they are getting ready to go on this mission. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And let me tell you this, and the Lord never did tell them there would be no problems along the way. You ever see that in there? Jesus said, let's go over it. We're passing over to the other side. He didn't say, oh, by the way, when we get out here, we're going to have some trouble. You know why? Because I think sometimes if he had said that to me and you on this journey, we'd have said, forget it, Lord, I ain't taking that trip. I don't want to go. I I'm staying away from that. I'm calling out. I'm tired. I'm just, hey, we'd be like Jonah, wouldn't we? Amen? We'd be like Jonah. You know what Jonah did? Oh, Jonah decided, well, you know, this is it. I see that there'll be problems if I go over to Nineveh, so I ain't going. Right? The Lord said, arise and go to Nineveh and preach. And Jonah got up and he said, nope, ain't going. Amen? Wouldn't that be like me and you a lot of times? If you knew there were going to be problems, if you knew there were going to be issues along the way, some of us would simply bow out and say, God, just don't think I want to go on that trip. Amen? But aren't you glad that he doesn't tell us that? As a matter of fact, Paul, through his writing, tells us that if you get saved, you're not immune from problems. When you get saved, you still have the same issues that everybody else in life has. A saved person can still get cancer. A saved person can still have bumps and bubbles and falls in their life. Hey, a saved person still has the things that they must face. Hey, there's never a promise made that there won't be problems. Amen? But they just knew, hey, the Lord said, we've got a mission. Let's get with it and get on it. All right? So you see that there's a mission. And second of all, not only are we going to see the mission that they're going to, I want you to notice the midst of the sea they find themselves in. They're in the water now. And listen to what it says. And there arose, in verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Wow. They get out into this. Jesus said, we're going from here to there and everything. We're okay, we're riding along. And then all of a sudden, we got problems. We got problems. Well, I told you, the Lord never told them there wouldn't be any problems. He said, we're going from here to there. But I didn't promise it'd be a roller coaster ride. I didn't say I was putting you in spiritual Disneyland. I didn't say it's going to be a fun trip. I didn't say it wasn't going to have some problems mixed in. I just said, we're going from here to there. And enjoy the ride. Amen? Sometimes it's tough for us to enjoy the ride, isn't it? I mean, it's as I say, it's not the path we would have taken. It's not the road we have chosen. But thank God the Lord will put you on it sometimes. Amen? So here they go. And in the midst of the sea, they begin to have some trouble. I want you to notice the way that this trouble comes. First of all, I want you to notice the storm that they come into. If you'll read, it said, and there arose a great storm of wind. First of all, I want you to understand, it was a sudden storm. It was a storm that came on suddenly. I mean, you talk about unsuspected, here they were. Now, normally, traveling the Sea of Galilee at night, there are no storms. During the day, yeah, they could expect that. But at night, they expected smooth sailing. They were going along, here it is, late in the day. They sent the crowds home, they got Jesus in the boat. They're going across a several mile journey to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. But all of a sudden, here comes a storm. Can I tell you, that's the way it'll be in your life. You'll be in the midst of everything rolling along just sweet and fine. And then all of a sudden, honey, you're in a storm. It'll come on all of a sudden. It's a sudden storm. It didn't slowly come on. It didn't just all of us, you saw it, you know, kind of wrote. No, it wasn't one of those things. It came very suddenly. I'll tell you, when storms of life come suddenly, we just go to pieces, don't we? I mean, you're just kind of rolling along. It's like running into a wreck on the road. You're driving, you know, 65, 70, 80 for some of y'all, amen. But you're driving down the road, and then all of a sudden the traffic stopped. Well, what happened? Well, there's an accident ahead, and you're going to sit here a while, and it's going to be hours before they get it cleared up. Well, I wasn't planning on that. Well, Sherlock, none of us was, right? Your little GPS pops up and says, well, there is a faster route if you want to get off this road. And you're like, yeah, thanks. I wish you'd told me that about 10 miles back. Amen. But it didn't happen. Hey, you're right there in the midst of something that happens right then. You're in the midst of something. And that's the way storms of life can happen to me and you. They can happen suddenly. They can happen suddenly. But not only this, I also want you to notice this. You see, the the suddenness of this storm, I want you to see the strength that there is in this storm. I mean, this is a severe, there arose, listen, a great storm of wind. I mean, this wasn't just that it came suddenly. It came suddenly and it came strongly. It said, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now, I mean, it was a strong storm, but this storm brought some stuff with it. It brought the water crashing up against the side of that boat, and it was splashing over. And it said they began to take on water, and the ship got full of water. You know, somebody said this one time. They said, you know what causes ships to have problems? Ships have problems. It's not because they're in the water. Ships can do well when they're in the water. You get a boat out there and you drive it around. You're in the water. You're okay. You start to have problems when the water gets into your boat. When the water gets into your ship, well, this is what's beginning to happen right here. The water is getting inside the boat with them. Uh-oh, now we've got problems. Amen? I mean, it was a sudden storm, but it was also a strong storm. It was causing more havoc and more problems. Can I tell you, most of the time when we get into those situations in life, when a storm comes and it comes suddenly and it comes on just kind of full blast and strong, man, that's when we go into meltdown, right? And then when we start, oh no, what am I going to do? What? Well, the same thing happens with these guys. But let's talk about this just for a minute. Let's talk about what is the source of this storm. You know where this storm came from? Well, we really don't know. We don't understand in this story. It just says all of a sudden, here's a storm, they're in it. Now, they can sit there and say, do you think that the wind blew up here? They're not worried about that right now. They're just worried about getting through the storm. They're not worried about the source of it. But can I tell you, for me and you, a lot of times, storms come from one of three sources, okay? Sometimes a storm comes from a satanic attack. There are times that the devil does come after the people of God. I mean, and some of y'all have experienced those kind of storms. The devil comes after you, and when he comes full blast, he comes full force, he comes on strong. The devil comes and tries to tear everything up. What does Jesus say about the devil? He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the devil. He'll come at you sometime, and that'll be your storm. But can I tell you, sometimes storms are of our own making. Amen? I mean, you just kind of done it to yourself. I mean, you know, they told you to quit eating Big Macs, but you know what you did? I'm driving through McDonald's anyway. What's that going to do? Well, all of a sudden, your blood pressure's up, and your blood sugar's up, and your weight's up, and you can't breathe good, and you got this problem, you got that, and you go to the doctor, and you say, Doc, I don't know what's wrong. He says, well, what are you eating? Well, I just drive through McDonald's every day and get two Big Macs and a big order of fries and a cold drink. And, you know, how could that hurt me? He said, I told you to cut that. Well, I'm still doing it anyway, and I'm just going to work my way through. You ain't going to work your way through some things. You know, the alcoholic. Well, I can still drink. It'll be all right. I don't care if my liver's failing. I don't care if I got cirrhosis. I'm just still going. Well, they tried to tell you that that's a storm you're bringing home yourself. The drug addict that's losing weight and lost their job and lost their family and in a total mess. Well, I don't understand what's happened. You brought that on yourself. Amen? I'm just telling you, sometimes storms are brought on by us. Amen? I mean, you and I sometimes do dumb things. And if you do something dumb, look for a big, hey, sticker that says, I told you so. Amen? Your mom and daddy ever do that to you? Don't get out there and play in the mud. You'll have it all over you and you'll have to have another bath. And I ain't going to be real happy about that. You'll mess up the house. What do they know? Go out there and stomp a mud puddle or two. And you come to the door and your mama just about wants to pinch your head off. Somebody say amen right there because we've been there and done it, right? What you mad at me for? You brought it on yourself. Well, it's the devil. The devil didn't do that. You done it, amen? Let me just tell you, I think the devil gets blamed for a lot of stuff that you've done yourself, amen, right? And, okay, so that's two sources. Sometimes satanic attack. Sometimes it's yourself. But sometimes It is the sovereign purpose of God to do some things in our lives. Sometimes God brings storms in our lives to test us and to show us that we need Him. Amen? Aren't you glad God does that? Peter talks about it in the very first chapter of his writing. He talks about that you and I should not be so overly concerned at those fiery trials that come to us. He said, so that it can perfect your faith. He said, so that your faith, though it be tried in the fire, that it'll come through like gold. Amen. Hey, can I tell you, a faith that's not worth trying in a faith that's not worth having. If God can't try your faith every once in a while, watch the you don't know what you've got till God tries it every once in a while. When you've got your faith in God and He puts you into the fiery furnace, amen? Do you remember what those boys did, the Hebrew boys? They told the king, they said, now look, king, we know what you got. We understand there's the big thing you built, the big idol, and we're not going to worship it. And he looks at them and he says, let me ask you something. What you boys got? They said, we've got a God and we're going to trust in Him. We're not bowing down. He said, I'm going to throw you in the furnace. They said, go ahead. We may burn. He may deliver. Whatever it is, we're not going to go with you. Amen. He puts them in the fiery furnace. He has it heated up. The Bible says 7 times hotter than it ever been heated before. And when the king looks in to gloat and see that they may be dead, he looks in and he said, wait a minute. Didn't we throw 3 guys in there? Yes, O king. He said, well, why do I see 4? And that 4th one looks like the Son of God. Amen. You know what? The Lord came down there with them in that fiery trial. And when they pulled them out, the Bible said there was not even the smell of smoke on them, not even upon the hair of their head. Nothing was singed. They were perfectly whole. And the king decided their God was the one everybody ought to worship. Amen? What I'm telling you is, hey, God sometimes just puts us in those situations. But aren't you glad that He's there with us? And that may be what's going on here. Because you see, at the end of this, Jesus asked them, how is it that you don't have any faith? I mean, why? He said, I said we're going from here to there, and we're going. Amen. Sometimes you ever feel like you wasn't going to make it from here to there, even though the Lord said, yeah, you're going to make it. Amen. You're going to make it. You just have to trust in me. He didn't say there wouldn't be bumps and problems along the way, but He said, I'm going to get you there. Amen. So there you see the mission. There you see them in the midst. But last of all, look at this. Let's look at the marvel, if you will. The Bible said there He was. Verse 38, He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him. And they say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Man, I guess that's a good question. You think, boy, them a bunch of dummies. Well, they might be a bunch of dummies, but don't you and I do the same thing? Hey, Lord, don't you know this is me down here and I'm having trouble? Hey, Lord, hey, don't you see me? Hey, God, this is me and I'm having trouble. Isn't that the way we are sometimes? They came to Him and said, Lord, don't you care that we're about to perish? And the Bible said that He arose and He rebuked the wind and He said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And listen to what happened. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the seas obey Him? Do you realize this? They ought to have that fear about Him rather than that other fear that they showed about the storm. Hey, fearing Him is far better than fearing the obstacles that you've got in this life. Amen? It'll work out a whole lot better for you when you fear Him. Notice just a few little things about this. When they marvel, it said, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is it? They looked around and they said, wow, who is this guy? What kind of man is this that's here? Even the winds and the seas obey Him. First of all, let me tell you this. In their marveling, and you and I can marvel too, that many times we get to see the power of God. Isn't it amazing when you see God in His power come down and do some things in your life, even though you're in a storm, God comes down and He shows His great and marvelous power. Amen? Boy, I like it when God comes down and says, here, let me do this for you. And I'm just amazed at the power of God. You look up and you say, God, I couldn't have done it. He said, I know. That's why you're in the situation, so I could show you, you can't do it without me. Amen. That's exactly what happened to these men. There they were. What could they do? They couldn't do anything against the storm. All they could do is cry out. All they could do was worry. All they could do is weep. All they could do is wish. But thank God, aren't you glad the Lord showed up and took care of every issue for them? There he was. They saw His power. Now, first of all, they saw the power of the storm. I mean, there's that storm, and they can't do a thing. They are, if you will, powerless against the storm. But isn't it amazing that your Bible tells you right here, it says they came to Him, they said, Lord, don't you care, we're about to perish. He arose and He rebuked the wind, and He said to the sea, peace, be still. What does it say after that? Immediately, there was a great calm. They couldn't do anything. But boy, the power of God can do more than you and I could even dare to dream. How'd that stop? It stopped by the power of God. I mean, Jesus just looked at the situation and said, this is what's bothering y'all. This bothering. Wind, stop. See, be still. And immediately, I mean right then, that's one of Mark's favorite words is immediately. Immediately, there was a great calm. The wind quit blowing. The waves quit rocking. Everything suddenly got to a great calm. When you see the power of God, when you're in a storm and you cry out to Him and He shows up, He says, let me show you my power. And He does when He gives you all of the calm that there is. Now I'll tell you this, sometimes God may let me and you stay in that storm, but aren't you glad He can calm me and you down even in the midst of the storm? Amen. He does that many times too. Praise the Lord for that. But they got to see the power of God. Not only that, they got to experience the promises of the Lord. Look what it says in chapter number 5, the next chapter, verse number 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea. What did Jesus tell them? He said, we're going to pass over from here and we're going there. Guess what? The promise came true. They went over. Yeah, but preacher, there was a storm. There was a storm. He didn't promise them there wouldn't be a storm. He didn't promise them a smooth sailing. He didn't promise there wouldn't be anything in there. He said, but I'll get you there. And don't worry about what happens on the way. Can I tell you, it's the same thing for me and you. You're living right now and you're facing some things. You're going through some things. You've got, physical issues. You've got emotional issues. You've got family problems. You got what? Thank God He said, wait a minute. I'll get you through it. I didn't tell you you wouldn't get here, but I'm telling you we're going there. Amen. Thank God for that. He said, I promised you the other side and we're here. Why is that? Well, more than anything, I mean, He showed them His power. He showed them His promises, but He's also showed them more than anything, His presence. Can I tell you, when you got the presence of the Lord with you, it means more than anything. They ran to Him and they said, Lord, don't you care? Amen? Y'all ever think about that song Brother Ronnie sings sometimes, Does Jesus Care? And it talks about the things that are going on in our lives, whatever it may be. Does Jesus care? And the chorus comes in and says, oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. Oh, His heart is touched with my grief. Thank God. Aren't you glad that Jesus does care? The Bible said that He careth for you. He said, bring all your cares to Him because He cares for you. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus cares about you. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you're going through. Thank God He cares. Amen. He cares for me and for you. He cared for these guys in the boat. Now I want you to think about this too. If you remember when we were reading this in that very first, maybe 35, 36 whatever it was, verse 36, and it says, they sent away the multitude, took him even his wooden ship. Listen, and there were also with him other little ships. Do you realize they wasn't sailing in this thing alone? Do you realize there were some other little ships there? Do you realize those other little ships got in the storm with them if they were following him? But can I tell you this? They didn't have the presence of the Lord with them. Now, what do you think that's doing? They didn't have the Lord right there physically to call on. They didn't have him right. But aren't you glad those other little ships got the blessing? Amen. Because he was present with the big ship that had all the problems. Amen. Sometimes the others around you get the blessing because, man, the presence of the Lord can be anywhere. He's present with whoever's around during those storms. Thank God he'll calm your family. He'll help your neighbors. He'll bless your boss. He'll take care of them at school. Whatever it is, when God shows up in his presence, he'll take care of all the problems that are there round about. Amen. Well, I'm just glad we got the presence of the Lord. That's why I think it's so imperative when you and I come to church that we just absolutely must know that we have the presence of the Lord in our midst. Amen. Sister Barbara sang that song. He's in the midst. Amen. Whenever it's a storm, whenever it's a trial, whatever we got to go through. Amen. Where two or three are gathered in the midst, he's there too. Amen. Aren't you glad of that tonight, that he'll be there? And listen, they got over to the other side. And you know what happened when they got over there? Well, they're in the country of the Gadarenes. And they met a wild man. He come out and started carrying on with them. He was crazy, demon-possessed, maniac. But you know what? The presence of the Lord was there too. And Jesus took care of that next problem that came their way. I mean, they got from one side, they passed over to the other. And I'll tell you, just because you come through one storm, it don't mean there's not another right over on the other side. There's something else could be facing you now. But aren't you glad? He's there too. Amen. Whatever may be coming your way, thank God, you can look up and say, hey, I know that he's here and he's going to take care of me. Amen. He's going to take care of me. Whatever it is that's coming your way. Brother Ronnie, come on. We're going to sing a verse of a song. If you're here tonight, maybe you got some things that